Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Don, I'm sorry. You know what? I screwed up. I forgot to turn the sound on. Let's start again. Hi, everybody. This is Dennis, and I'm here on Blog Talk Radio, finally, after turning up the microphones. This is The Bible on Trial, and we are just about to get started with our program. We have...
December 3.
Today is December 3. 2021. Today is our 1,315th episode, and we will get started with that in just a moment. Our websites will be posted up on our chat room. It is spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SCM. We also have a Facebook page at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group on Facebook. There you can go to, if you want to read some things that we post every week, and you can also request membership, and we'll be happy to have you join us there. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a safe and a peaceful and a happy day as we go about the business of learning the truth. And thank you for correcting our mistakes and helping us to see the brilliant light that you have given us concerning the life road and what is in store for us here very soon. And I pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
Good morning. And good morning, Rick. Finally.
Good morning, Dennis.
Sorry.
It's fine. You know, it happens. We're going to continue with our look at the end time, end of days prophecies that have a clearer and different application in time. In the text, I am starting out with day, and I read some of it last time, and incidentally, if you haven't listened to the programs for last Friday and Sabbath, I strongly encourage you to do that because they will fit right into what we're talking about today. The text I'm starting with today is in Isaiah chapter 42 and starting with verse 5. Thus says God, Yahweh, He who created the heavens and spread them out. Now, I just want to bring out a point here. I'm sure most of you have heard about the alternative view of the creation of all things, that there really wasn't a creation, there was a Big Bang. Now, the scientists who are honest with themselves will tell you that all of their measurements of speed, mass, and temperature disprove the Big Bang theory in total. And one of the things that they are perplexed by is that the universe, and when I talking about the universe, the body of it is expanding, which was one of the reasons why they were saying that there was a Big Bang, because of course everything was propelled out. But they are saying that motion of the material of the universe should be slowing down, and it's not. We read in this verse what he says about what he did when he created the heavens. It says he spread them out. Scientists know that the universe is spreading out. And so that would be a significant point. Who gave shape to the earth and what comes from it? Who gave breath to its people and life to the creatures that move in it? I, Yahweh, have called you to serve the cause of right. The cause of right is the cause of truth, the cause of righteousness, the cause of obedience, the cause of learning the truth about the Creator, understanding, knowing, and doing what the Creator's will is. It goes on here to say something that I have found very interesting. It has been thought for quite some time, still is, I guess, that this is talking about the Son of God, the Messiah. Doesn't seem to really fit with what is said here in the next verse, or this last part of this verse. I have taken you by the hand and formed you. What that means is the formation, he's not so much talking about I have formed your body, like he formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is more from that the first part, that sentence just above there that ends with a semicolon. I, Yahweh, have called you to serve the cause of right. I have taken you by the hand and formed you. So the forming is the teaching. When we, particularly when we go to college, are working toward a certain discipline, whatever that may be, a profession or a technical expertise. What we do in college is the professors form our mind to be able to operate our body in a certain expertise. This one, he tells us, is the cause of right, the cause of truth. I have appointed you as a covenant of the people. A covenant of the people. And he is talking here about the people of the world. That word in Hebrew is Gentile or nations. I have appointed you as a covenant of the people and light of the nations. Covenant. What is a covenant?
Could that correspond?
Could that correspond to Matthew 21:43 or whatever it is, where he's going to take away the kingdom and give it to a people, and his relationship to a kingdom is a covenant?
Yes, yes. A covenant is an agreement that operates on a promise to perform. He goes on to say, this is in verse 7, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, and those who live in darkness from the dungeon. And you say, well, isn't this what the Son of God came to do? Yes. But did he accomplish that? Now, what I mean by that is, did he finish that? Did he open the eyes of the blind? Did he free captives from prison? And those who lived in darkness from the dungeon. Now, if you know what a dungeon is, I'm sure you all know what a dungeon is. A dungeon is a prison cell, typically underground, that has very little, if any, light. Prison. We are, or we all exist in a prison of darkness, a dark prison, but we don't know that we are in a dungeon because the darkness is lies. And the lies have been presented and confirmed through subterfuge and deceit to be accepted as truth. And this darkness is enforced by penalty of imprisonment or death. In John chapter 1, John understands this. I don't know if John understood it before his master, his teacher came. John wrote this gospel long after his master teacher went back to his father. The heavenly being who was now with John and helping him put into words what we really need to read is the Holy Spirit. Now, I say this with deep humility. That I understand how that works, how the Holy Spirit can help you say the right things, the important things, to say the words that people who are searching will be able to see it and understand it. The part here in John chapter 1, let's start with verse 4. All that came to be had life in him, and that life is the light of men. And what is the light of men that has to do with light? It is the truth. So all that came to be had life in him, and that life is the truth of men, the truth in men. The truth shines in the lies, the darkness. And the truth that darkness, lies, could not overpower. The darkness was the world, because the world had been lied to by the father of lies, who controlled those who were teaching the people. It didn't matter whether you were a pagan or a Jew or a mystic. It didn't matter what it was that you thought was important to know about the world, its origins, what you are to do, and the future. Didn't matter. There was a carefully crafted fable, lie, which spoke to you, spoke to your heart, spoke to your spirit, which you held on to and believed completely. The reason the Son of God, and the most important reason the Son of God came to this earth, was to testify to the truth. And what we're reading here in Isaiah is describing a person. I have taken you by the hand and formed you. That formation is a spiritual formation. So he is saying, I have formed you, and I put in there with the truth. Verse 8, my name is Yahweh. I will not yield my glory to another, nor my honor to idols. See how former revelations have come true. See how former revelations have come true. Fresh things I now foretell before they appear. Before they appear, I tell you of them.
May I do a little semantic inflection change? In verse 8, we read this, I am the Lord, that is my name, I will not give my glory to another. But the Lord is emphatic in this. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. The point is, he is sovereign. And what he puts in place to have happen will happen if it is the right time and on the right timeline.
The glory he's talking about?
The glory of the Father, which is the glory of truth.
Truth is
the glory.
The glory.
Right.
It's the glory that the Father and the Son shared. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is the glory of God. And that glory, God doesn't give, God shares. And the way that we can share in that glory is by learning the truth. The Son of God himself said, all those who love the truth, learn the truth, have the truth in them, he will be in them. Because the truth is the glory of God.
And that is what he said in John 17, and I highly recommend that you read that, because there is no question. There will be no question in your mind what the glory is after you read John 17.
The word of truth is the glory of God. Just over a few chapters, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. I guess it wouldn't be complete if I didn't read these
That's
two
right.
verses. Yes, as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and do not return without watering the earth, making it yield and giving growth to provide seed for the sower and bread for the eating, so the word that goes from my mouth does not return to me empty without carrying out my will and succeeding in what it was sent to do.
And I have a question for those of you who are doubters about who God is and what he does. If you listen to that, and you are not influenced to understand that the will of God will happen, he just said it. It will not return to me empty.
Without accomplishing what it was sent to do.
And so who was it that brought those words to earth? Was it Paul? Did he bring the very words of God? Did he go to heaven? Well, he even said, no one has gone to heaven.
Well, that was Son of God.
That was the Son of God. No, Son of God said, no one will go to heaven.
Paul says he got his message directly from the mouth of God.
Right.
Didn't get it from anybody else.
But he didn't get it in heaven.
Yeah, but the God he got it from was the God of this world.
And that's the whole issue.
Lies.
Exactly. That's how you tell.
Okay, Daniel 2. We're just briefly going to take a couple of
quick looks.
In 34, I believe it is, while you were gazing, a stone broke away, untouched by any hand, and struck the statue at its feet. And then 44, in the time of the kings of the feet, that's the time we are living in right now. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And this kingdom will not pass into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms and itself last forever. Just as you saw the stone untouched by hand break from the mountain and shatter iron, bronze, earthenware, silver, and gold, the great God has shown the king what is to take place. What is to take place? Now, what is this stone? Well, we know that the Son of God represented himself as a stone to the builders. Who were these builders? Now, the reason I say the builders is because that's what he says. The stone that the builders rejected. He confirms to the prophecy experts that he is the stone. They figured this out on their own. They figured it out all on their own. But it isn't what they wanted. So he represented himself as a stone. And we see in Daniel 2 a stone. But the stone in Daniel 2 is not the stone in Matthew 21. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The stone in Matthew 21 came from God. The stone in Daniel 2 comes from a mountain. Now, I've had people tell me, when I ask, the stone in Daniel 2, what does that represent? Who does that represent? Well, that represents Christ. But I said, well, where does it say that? Well, it says he's the kingdom. I said, what?
Where does it say that?
So we have builders and we have stones. Stones are used in the building.
They're construction material.
Now, the stone that the builders rejected, we are told, this is from Psalms, and it is quoted by the Son of God, became the chief cornerstone. A cornerstone is, when it is placed, it determines the direction and measurements of each subsequent stone that is placed. And as they are placed together, they become a house or a temple, which is the house of a deity. And in this case is the house of Almighty God. But they're spiritual stones, not literal stones. So the mountain must represent a spiritual entity on earth, and the stone breaking away, the mountain must represent the spiritual character of a body of believers, if for lack of a better term, on earth.
And by the way, apropos of the text in Psalms, that is Psalms 118, 22, and 23.
Turn now to Daniel chapter 7. And just a word, the reason we are going through these, well, there are several important reasons, but one of those is I've talked a lot about trust and how important trust is. And an example of that is, I see what's going on in the world today, and it is confusing a lot of people. And I myself look at it and wonder at times, and then I bring myself back down to this. I trust God. God has given us information about the end. And God has given us information about how he determines the final outcome for the people of his creation. He has said that sometimes he says death and destruction. But if the people are not wicked, he changed his mind about the evil that he had intended for them and give them peace and prosperity. And on the other hand, he may promise peace and prosperity, but because of the hard-heartedness and wickedness of the people, he changes his mind. That's exactly what it says in there. I change my mind about the good I had promised and planned for them. In Revelation 7, there is a very clearly described sequence of events that must take place before the four dreadful judgments of God blow across the earth. And if one of those in the sequence does not take place, then none of the subsequent ones can take place. And I mentioned, I think, last time about how there are those that, of course, a lot of the quote-unquote religious sorts are looking at Revelation, trying to figure out how what's happening today described in Revelation. And they were trying to figure out, because in some versions of the Bible, it says the mark is on the hand and the forehead, and others say in the hand on the forehead. So they're trying to figure out, well, was it on or in with it? Come on, people. The mark of the beast. Maybe we'll just, I'll read this real quick. In Revelation chapter 14, now, of course, the mark of the beast is talked about in Revelation chapter 13, but Revelation chapter 14, starting with verse 6, then I saw another angel flying high overhead, sent to announce the good news of eternity to all who live on the earth. Every nation, race, language, tribe, he was calling, fear God and praise him, because the time has come for him to sit in judgment. Worship the maker of heaven and earth and sea and every water spring. The second angel followed him, calling, Babylon has fallen. Babylon the great has fallen. Babylon, which gave the whole world the wine of God's anger to drink. A third angel followed, shouting, all those who worship the beast and his statue, or have had themselves branded on the hand or forehead, branded, will be made to drink the wine of God's fury, which is ready, undiluted, in his cup of anger. In fire and brimstone, they will be tortured in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, and the smoke of their torture will go up forever and ever. There will be no respite, night or day, for those who worship the beast or its statue, or accepted the branding with its name. This is why there must be consistency in the saints who keep the commandments of God and faith in Jesus. Then I heard a voice from the heavens say to me, write down, happy are those who die in the Lord. Happy indeed, the Spirit says, now they can rest forever after their work, since their good deeds go with them. This is telling of a warning about what the mark of the beast is. But what do you have to have in order to have a mark of the beast?
The beast itself.
And the beast itself appears in Revelation 13. Comes up out of the ground, and it is linked to the opening of the fifth, the sounding of the fifth trumpet, the opening of the abyss, letting out all the demons and devils and Satan himself. And it is the devil in full view of the people of the world. Well, he doesn't look like the devil, but it is the devil that says everybody must receive the mark, or they can't work, they can't buy or sell anything. Oh, well, that sounds just like what's happening with the jab.
Well, and Rick, if that's the case, then would Dr. Fauci be this beast that is a... No, what I'm saying is that can't happen.
You see, God makes it very clear who the beast is, mm-hmm. what the mark is, and what will happen if you take it. And when you read the whole of Revelation, what you see is that first there is a sealing of the 144,000. This sealing of this 144,000 are righteous men and women who have completed the sanctification process, have the seal of the living God. Actually, God's name is on their forehead. If somebody knows where these people are right now and they are working right now, please tell me, because I don't see anyone at all. So you have to have the faithful and wise enough bondservant and the fellow bondservants and the 144,000 before the four winds are released, which is the start of the judgment that Revelation talks about, and then the trumpets sound and all of that. And we don't have that. We are in a different reality. There are not 144,000 sealed, righteous people who are going throughout the world and pointing this out. We don't have the devastation of the trumpets happening. So the deep state globalists are using the jab as they had planned to use what is called in Revelation the mark of the beast. But it is not the mark of the beast because it has not, the people of the world have not been given credible evidence to show that it is.
Rules, the seven rules of prophetic interpretation as found in our website, our original website, and I will post this on our Facebook again. Number one, and this goes to what you're saying. Number one, all prophecy has a beginning and ending point in time. Elements within the prophecy are consecutive and occur in chronological order. Number two, in order for a prophetic fulfillment to occur, all elements of the prophecy must occur as stated within the prophecy, which means that since this has not happened and cannot happen because the time for it to happen has already come and gone, the jab cannot be the mark of the beast because there is no beast.
Now, that doesn't mean that if you go ahead and get it,
there won't be repercussions.
Just so you know, it is not the mark of the beast, and those who have received it are not going to suffer in fire and brimstone forever and ever and so on. Daniel chapter 7, the first part of Daniel chapter 7 talks about the four great beasts, which cover the part of the image from the head of gold to the legs of iron. And then it goes a little further where the fourth beast has 10 horns. And no, these are not the 10 toes of the image. The 10 horns are 10 kings. And then there's a horn that it talks about in verse 8 that had eyes like a human eyes and mouth that was full of boasts. And as I watched, thrones were set in place. So here we are given a point of time. The horn with eyes and a mouth is the rise of the papal, quote-unquote, Christian church. Catholic, it means a universal Christian church. This was the dragon's attempt to control the narrative of the testimony, that to control the truth given by the in the testimony of the Son of God, so that they could control the narrative of where Christianity would go. Thrones were set in place, and one of great age took his seat. His robe was white as snow, the hair of his head as pure as wool. His throne was a blaze of flames, its wheels were a burning fire, kind of sounds like what Ezekiel described that he saw. A stream of fire poured out, issuing from his presence. 1,000,000 waited on him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. A court was held or seated, and the books were opened. The books. What books? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what is in the books, or the books of truth. The books of truth are opened. Now, some say they're the books of record. Well, the books of record would be a record of the truth, right? What is the truth? The great things the horn was saying were still ringing in my ears. And as I watched, the beast was killed. This is the fourth beast. And its body destroyed and committed to the flames. The other beasts were deprived of their power, but received a lease of life for a, this is a specific time, specific season and time. Kind of like what happens if this specific season and time never happened.
Whatever it was tagged to doesn't occur.
We have two parallel realities, and I've talked about this before. The two parallel realities may be represented by the right and the left foot of the image. I don't know. I don't know that, and so I won't say that. But we have two parallel realities. We have the reality which right now the deep state globalists are trying to get back on track there, the Great Reset. That's their plan.
This was the 16-year plan that started with Obama and was supposed to continue with Hillary Rodham Clinton, but was interrupted.
This plan comes right from the devil's cabinet from hell. The reality that we are in is not the one, it is coming to fruition right now. I mean, it already exists, but it's coming into ascendancy. Is a reality of peace and prosperity for all people of the earth. Daniel goes on, I gazed into the visions of the night, and I saw coming on the clouds of heaven one like a son of man. This would be what the Son of God did when he went back to the Father. But this occurs because John says that the great things the horn was saying were still ringing in my ears. So this occurs during the time when the Catholic Church is really affecting control over the world. He came to the one of great age and was led into his presence. And this, of course, also takes place after the court had set. We have the 24 elders there, the one of great age. I'm sure the four living creatures, although they're not described, it says 1,000 times 10,000. On him, the Son of God, Son of Man, was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. And men of all peoples, nations, and languages became his servants. The invitation to the marriage in that parable in Matthew chapter 22, the invitation was to go to every place on earth and was to be given to good and bad. Everybody was invited. The invitation to the marriage feast is the testimony of the Son of God, the bridegroom.
And so, you know, that really makes sense, Rick, because if you listen to the testimony of anyone else, that is testimony to a marriage feast. The other ones, that is a testimony to, that is an invitation, but it's not to the invitation of the wedding of the Lamb. It is another beast that is being in, you're invited to marry. So you have to decide whether you are going to humble yourself enough to admit that you have believed a lie as if it's the truth before you can accept that proper and true invitation.
So how is it? Does this have anything to do with the stone that breaks itself away from the mountain without hand?
Grasshopper, it does, because that stone is the one, the person who is calling your attention to the difference between the invitations.
The marriage feast is the kingdom of God.
Correct.
The marriage feast, to be in the marriage feast is to be in the kingdom of God. So what the, and it would have to be the faithful and wise enough servant, because that we have that information very clearly displayed. That person takes the testimony of the Son of God, learns it, puts it into practice, and is separated from the mountain of what I would assume would be either Christianity or some religious practice in Christianity. And it separates itself as a separate and unique entity, the stone. But notice the stone doesn't stay a little stone any more than the mustard seed stayed a little unique seed. We're talking about the same thing. In fact, the stone grows, and when it when the kingdom of the world is destroyed, it has already been. You understand that? The deep state globalists, following the plan of Lucifer, the devil, Satan, the ancient serpent, have been destroyed by none other than Almighty God. The death throes of the serpent are already taking place. His sovereignty, this is talking about the one like the Son of Man, is an eternal sovereignty which shall never pass away, nor his empire ever be destroyed. And what days is this talking about?
The days of Elijah.
The days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. And I pray that you will take this all to heart and to study it yourself. We don't want anybody to believe what we are saying just because we're saying it. Please research it yourself. Join us tomorrow again for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a great day, and we'll see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So long for now.